And help us, Lord, to apply that to life now, because there are many, many similarities. And so help us in this last class in this series, that your name would be honored and that our lives would be changed by your word. In the name of Jesus, amen. The book of Jeremiah is really a very serious book about judgment and about punishment. And God had called Jeremiah, even from before his birth, to be a prophet. And Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet, because for 40 years he labored in a very difficult atmosphere. The spokesman for God calling people to repentance, calling them earnestly to repentance. And the people were responding not simply with apathy, but with vigorous objections. We will not obey. We will not repent. And yet in the midst of all of the studies we've had, there is that shining ray of grace. And so I want to do a couple of things this morning. One is to review a little bit about what we've been through, that we might trace a bit of that grace. And I want to read, in preparation for that, from Psalm 103, beginning at verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Slow to anger, rich in grace, is the way that we have it in our Psalter. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities, etc. Chapter 1 in the book that we've been studying is God files for divorce. And the question that comes at the end of that study is, have you and I given God enough reason to divorce us? And of course the answer is yes, right? And yet we are here. Why? Because God's grace is upon us. A good man is hard to find in the second chapter. God sent Jeremiah into the city and said, look for a good man. Just one. Not a dozen. Not 100. One. That's all you need to do. Find one. Jeremiah came back empty-handed. There was none. But there is one. The Lord Jesus. Who is the perfect one. The perfect man. Grace again. At the crossroads. At the crossroads. Find the ancient path. There is a path. There is a path. It's an ancient path. And so Jeremiah drives us back to say, when you get lost in the woods, go back to the last place that you knew where you were, and then take the right way to go. Take the ancient path. What is the ancient path? Well, it goes back to God's sovereign grace, doesn't it? His mercy toward His people. What the church needs now is reformation. God gives us His grace in reforming the church. And we took an extra week on that when Jack White talked to us about justification and sanctification, the most important topic in our day. something to boast about, but not the rich man boast in his riches, but not the wise man boast in his wisdom, but not the strong man boast in his strength, but let him boast who knows the Lord. Grace. Grace. God doesn't work with the same methods that are used in the world. Wealth, strength, supposed wisdom. He works with those who have been called to His grace, by His grace. Scarecrow and the melon patch reminded us of the way in which we often look to idols for that which idols can never give to us. We trust in them. The idols in Jeremiah's day were posts, were trees that had been cut down, buried in the ground. Some of them were made into small idols which had to be nailed to the shelf so they wouldn't fall off. Surprising thing, the stupidity, it seems to us, and yet do we not do the same thing? But God calls us by His grace to trust not in idols, but in living God. Grace, grace, grace. We have the potter's hands. Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house. And the question that comes at the end of that chapter really is, if you were the potter to make your life, would you make your life differently? Would you make you differently than you are? And then Ryken expands that and he said, if that's the case, do you want to be the potter and make God the clay? Yet we live in a society, as Jeremiah did, of people who are wanting to do exactly that. I will make my own way. I will do it my way. Nobody will tell me how to live it. Not even God. Grace. And you are here, my friends, because of that grace. And you know that I'm skipping a chapter. Next chapter is Dark Night of the Soul. I didn't want to end a 9-week course in Jeremiah in the dark night of the soul. It's there, needs to be faced, and if the Adult Nurture Committee wants to extend the study at some point along the way, chapter 9, isn't it? Chapter 8. Chapter 8 might be a good starting point because it kind of gives the summary of Jeremiah's life and the bitterness that he faced. But I did want to end on a little better note than that, where grace is more clearly seen. And so we go to chapter 9 in the book here, chapter 29 in Jeremiah, when Jeremiah gives a great promise. For I know the plans that I have for you. Plans not to destroy, not to harm, but plans to bless and to guide. I just want to set the scene a little bit here. A lot has happened since Jeremiah was down at the potter's house, which we had last week. By this time, the people have been beaten. They have been exiled from Jerusalem to Babylon. They are a refugee people. They are in places they don't want to be. There are false prophets over there in Babylon who are saying to the people, don't worry, we'll be going back to Jerusalem before long. Don't worry about building a house, just live in tents for a while if that's what it takes. If your sons or daughters are about to get married, just wait for a few months later. We'll get back to Jerusalem when a wedding can take place and be the right kind of a wedding. No point in planting trees or a garden because you won't be here long enough to eat the fruit of it. That's what the false prophets were telling the people in Babylon. Jeremiah was still in Jerusalem, and he got word of that. And he wrote a letter to the people, and he said, "Get over it, folks. You're going to be there 70 years. 70 years is an exiled people. Imagine what it would be like to be taken from your place, a comfort zone, and taken away, moved out 500, 600 miles away to a people that don't speak your language, to a people who don't worship your God, to a culture that isn't your God, to people who hate you and you hate them. And that's where you live." That's the context in which Jeremiah says, "I have plans for you. Plans not to harm you, but to bless you and to heal you." So it's more than just a nice verse to put on the graduation card of a college graduate. Some of you have gotten those or mailed them. I have. It's a nice verse. It's a good verse. But when you understand the context of that, it's far different than what seems on the surface. And those people living in Babylon, exiled people, were planted there by God, were planted there for what purpose? To show His grace. There's a lot to go here, but we've had in this congregation, a number of ways in which we've been talking about the way to reach our community, our city, city of Beaver Falls. There's a lot going on. And so I decided to ask the newest member of the Beaver Falls City Council, a man who serves by appointment currently to fill a vacancy, but a man who has decided to run for office in the Beaver Falls City Council. and he's a novice. I mean, that's the reason he's good at what he does right now. Doug has been having a series of Saturday morning meetings once a month, in which a gathering of people have come talking about a vision for what might take place here in our city. And I've been enthusiastically encouraged to see the enthusiasm and the strength of many people working together in this city. And I thought it would be helpful to you to hear Doug come along and tell us a little bit about some of the things he's been thinking about and working on. And so, Doug, come on up here. And I'll give you the mic. I know you don't need a mic, but we need it because these are being recorded.
Well, first of all, I want to say thanks for allowing me to come back and for the opportunity to come back. And it seems very familiar to walk in here and to even to stand right here. But I didn't think he was going to give me this much time, but he knows better, I think. I just want to tell you a little bit about my story, and it does fit into to where you are in Jeremiah in many ways. A couple of years ago, a group started in Beaver Falls called BFF, Beaver Falls Forever, not Best Friends Forever. And the idea, the single person most eager to start that was a lady by the name of Diane Ward. And it was her contention that there were a lot of good things happening in Beaver Falls, but there wasn't anybody kind of bringing all these people together. And actually, I'm going to return to that point because I think it still is an issue. But in any case, we started meeting, and that started, I think, awakening in me personally more of a desire to be active in the city. And the easiest avenue for me was to begin working on the bike trail. Norm and Bev are great walkers, or had been great walkers on the bike trail. There's a nice new, short but very nice bike trail along the river, and I'd spent a lot of time cleaning up the hillside back of my house, and that morphed into helping on the rails to trails. And then the elderly retired man who was doing all the mowing and all the upkeep on the trail got terminal cancer and died, and I decided that I would kind of take over that job. So I started doing that. And I really, that was, and still brings me a lot of joy being able to do something. Because oftentimes you wonder, what can I do? And this was something I could do. But as Jaron and I talked, you see in the bulletin in a full page ad there, I'm making a little bit of a transition in my life. I'm going to leave the work I've done for 33 years at BCCS. And so Jaron and I were sitting on our back porch, and we were talking about, you know, just where, you know, what was God doing here? And we said, you know, do we stay right where we are in Beaver Falls, or do we change? Do we do something different? We felt this urge to do something more in the city. You know, what should we do? What should we do? And we both agreed that we were just going to go to God and pray and say, God, you know, we're willing to do what you want us to do, but you're going to have to, you know, give us a little bit more information or show us a little bit more. 2 days later, George Quay called me at school and asked me if I would be interested in being appointed to city council. And so I told George his story. I said, I just, you know, two nights ago, my wife and I just started praying. So, you know, I want to pray some more about it, but it doesn't seem like that's just a happenstance, it just happens to work out that way. And you know, to make a long story short, I'm making it long. I was eventually appointed to city council to serve out George's term. George moved to mayor because Carl Boak, the longtime mayor of Beaver Falls, resigned his position for health reasons. And over the past couple months that I've been on city council, I've enjoyed quite a bit working with the people that I'm working with, and I've decided now to run, and so I'll be running. And I've been a lifelong independent. I changed my registration to Democrat, felt that that was politically the better way to go. And but the unfortunate thing is, see, you can't vote for me unless you're a registered Democrat in the primary. I thought I was going to get through the primary unscathed, but I think it might happen that there are going to be other people running. So I might be in a race right from the beginning. They don't have to turn their petitions in until Tuesday, so I don't know that for sure. But we'll see. God knows whether he'll continue to give me that opportunity or not. But it's pretty interesting. I think you should know there always has been. One of the interesting things about Beaver Falls is there always has been a strong undercurrent of people of faith in the city. And that's true on city council. All the five council members are all believers. And We pray before the start of the meeting, even though our solicitor is quite nervous about that. And there really is, the people that are at work on the city council are genuinely trying to make their faith have a bearing on what they do. And I think you should be encouraged about that. So what are some of the things that are happening? And again, my dad alluded to this before, that I'm a novice. I don't pretend to know. There are others of you. I think, Jack, you're pretty good at knowing kind of the political things that have happened in the past I would say I'm blissfully unaware of. What are some things, some positive things that are going on? I think one of the biggest things is that right now we're moving towards the end of a long-range planning situation. The state funded a long-range planner to come in. His name was Rick Grossman. I was talking with Brad Fry yesterday, and Brad says that that Rick, too, is a believer. And so, again, I just think it's interesting the way God brings people like that together. But his deal is to look at helping the city set sort of to take a step back and look at the bigger picture and create a long-range plan. And it starts with a zoning map. You know, what do you want the city to look like, and where do you want things to be? And so he's at work on that, and that's helpful, although for most of you, probably zoning's not a big deal, but it is kind of a hot-button issue, even within this group right here that's seated in the pews. There would be differences about, you know, the way that things should be zoned in the city. But I think Rick's plan is going to go beyond that to give us some things that he's been in the city, working with the city for almost a year now, some things that can be done within the city to improve it and in one sense revitalize it. And there's another one of those meetings, not a public meeting, but another one of those meetings this week, in which he's going to give us more of the fleshed out detail of that. And I was able to be on the steering committee for that. My brother Ken's on that as well. That's been a real good experience for me. One of the things that over the past month or so, I've learned of a new term, a new way to describe Beaver Falls that I think is honestly a helpful term. You may chuckle a little bit when you hear it. But to call Beaver Falls, or cities like Beaver Falls, cities in transition. So Beaver Falls, a city in transition. Of course, the next question is, what's the transition to? And that's the big question. But it is a city in transition. Clearly, we've lost the economic base, the steel mills from the past, but even more recently, the Armstrong, the loss of Armstrong Industries in town. And you just see the town losing that base, and it's going to go somewhere. Where's it going to go? It's a city in transition. And some of the things I think Rick Grossman's ideas and plans are going to be good. I'm at work with a group of people who are looking to form a community development corporation to come along side and work on projects to help the city. And that particular group is following the model of Christian community redevelopment, in which one of the big keys to that is to give the people that generally don't have a voice, the people that don't have political power, the people that don't have money, make sure that they have a voice. They're the people living in the city. Make sure that voice gets the opportunity to be heard and listened to and responded to. And I think that's a good thing. If you've been around me, you know one of the key things that I'm pushing for, and you'll see it on the, when you see the rezoning maps, is to take advantage as much as we can of the Beaver River, and now there'll be a zoning, at least I think there will be, and I should preface everything that I say about Rick Grossman's plan to say that eventually this plan will be presented to City Council, and City Council has the power to say yay or nay to the whole thing. So I'm going to be on the yay side. I'll tell you that. But the new zoning map, there'll be a greenway all the way along the river. Now you know, if you've lived in Beaver Falls enough, you know that the major issue with that is that there's a railroad between the town and the river, and technically there's no legal way to get to the river without trespassing, which is illegal, illegally crossing the railroad tracks. In the interest of full disclosure, I illegally carry my kayak across the railroad tracks and put it in the river and go kayaking. So, but I'm looking for ways to legally do that, and there are some interesting opportunities. One, that the state started modestly to build a boat ramp. They got the permission from the railroad. If you go back, what is it, Dollar General out here? If you go just beyond Dollar General and before you go under the railroad underpass for the Norfolk Southern tracks, you can make a right. The city calls that Dump Road. I don't know if that's the legal name of the road, but Dump Road, because that's where they take all the leaves and all the, and they dump it. But there's a road that actually goes all the way down to the river. B&W used to have a water treatment, a little water treatment plant down there. And there's a culvert where Wallace Run runs under the railroad tracks and out to the river. And the railroad has said that it's okay with them if people walk under that culvert and go out to the river. And so I worked with a small group of people to clear an area down there. The city is going to work on improving the road. So that's still moving forward kind of in fits and starts. Another very interesting one, and you know, Roy, you would know about this and maybe some of the other long timers, but at 11th Street, and I'm on 11th Street quite often, I walk that every day. At 11th Street and 1st Avenue, there used to be a train station there, and there's actually a pedestrian tunnel under the railroad tracks. And on the riverside, it's open for, you know, maybe 50 feet in under the tracks. But then on the other side, I'm sure for safety and liability reasons, it's been filled in. But it seems to me that that could be reopened and redone in a way that would be safe, and would be the start of some legal access out to the Beaver River for the citizens of Beaver Falls. So those are things that excite me and get me going. Rick Grossman's plan is also going to, you know, have some areas targeting neighborhood revitalization, and the state does give the city power to use tax abatements for people that want to fix up properties. I think there'll be a move towards that. Because it fits, I'm going to jump to something else that I think you might consider supporting in some way, and that is there really is a movement. I think it's fueled largely by Geneva College employees, either professors or people that work in student development. But there really is a nice pocket of people beginning to purchase homes in downtown Beaver Falls and to renovate those homes and to live there purposefully, meaningfully in a community. Not everybody's connected with Geneva, but Hank and Renee Sewer, Dave and Faith Vion, Mark and Jalay Haas, Ryan and Missy Nyholt, Dave Slobodnik, Ryan Holt are all people that I can mention. I probably forgot some. But those are all families of faith. If you look at your little outline here, it talks about establishing a presence in the city and being families located in the city to bring good to the city. And that's what these folks are doing. And, you know, a lot of you are older, but not all of you are older. You know, would you consider relocating to downtown Beaver Falls or rehabbing a home in downtown Beaver Falls or supporting a family that's willing to do that, you know, helping them out? Those are things. But certainly neighborhood revitalization. I think there's an emphasis on trying to right-size the city. You know, you go to Beaver or you go to New Brighton and you think, why can't we get Beaver Falls to look like this? But one of the things that those towns have going for them is their city core is about 4 or 5 blocks long. And then you come to Beaver Falls and you drive, you know, 20, 25 blocks and it just stretches out. So, again, as a part of the zoning idea, I believe that the move is going to be towards targeting several blocks and saying this is the inner core. It's not that we're going to kick anybody out from any other place, but we're going to try to support and make this inner core vibrant. Some things I think you should be encouraged about with regard to the city. Many cities, like Beaver Falls, are in financial, real severe financial difficulty, even to the point of being taken over by the state. That is not the situation with Beaver Falls. Beaver Falls is financially stable, and that's a good thing. And for a city of its size and downturn, there's a very solid infrastructure within the city. You have reasonably good roads. You have very good sewer. The city owns the water pollution control plant at the end of the town, and that's been turned from a money drag on the city to actually supporting itself, which is very good. The city does not own the Beaver Falls Municipal Water Authority. That's an independent board, although the city does put a person on that board, but that works independently. But the infrastructure for the city, for a city, again, experiencing the kinds of things that Beaver Falls has experienced, is solid. And I think we're poised to, if the cracker plant gets built in over there in Monaco or whatever the city limits are, but if that comes, and if the spin-off businesses come, I think the city is poised to be able to handle some revitalization that might come from that. So what are things that I think you can do? I think you can pray. You see that that's all over this sheet as well. And you can put these ideas that you read from Jeremiah into practice with regard to Beaver Falls instantaneously. My dad already mentioned this. The second Saturday of every month at 9 o'clock, Russ and Bethany allow me to use the back room over at BIFCAT, and I meet with people who want to talk about the city. It's best if city residents come to that, but I don't kick anybody out. So if you don't live in the city of Beaver Falls but you'd like to come, you're welcome to come. There is a rise in political activism. I think you know that within even this congregation. Roman Kozak is going to run for city council on the Republican side. Brian Jensen is running for school board, and I think he's cross-filed, so even if whether you're a Republican or Democrat, as long as you're not an independent like I was, you'll be able to vote for Brian. What's that? Roman is, Roman and Brian, Roman did worship here. Is he still worshiping here? So Roman worships here and Brian worships here. So yes, they're believers. Yeah. I mean, not that worshiping here makes you a believer automatically. I know, but I know them. They're believers. Yeah. So that's a good thing. Tom Karczewski, my good friend, doesn't worship here, but he's a believer. He's running for Beaver Falls School Board as well. So, again, underlying, Beaver Falls is an interesting place. Underlying a lot of what goes on in Beaver Falls is people of faith. And I want to say this comment one of the things that's happened that God has led Jaron and me to do is to worship with a mission church in the city of Beaver Falls called SOMA. It's a mission work from the First Pres in Beaver, and the pastor there is a great guy named Mark Duje, a young guy who lives in the city right on 13th and 1st. I walk by his place every morning, too. But I was with Mark yesterday morning, and Mark was saying what we often say when we look at these things in Beaver Falls is there's so many good things going on in Beaver Falls, but the downside to that is it's hard to get all these people to work together, because when you have good ideas and you want to see something move forward, but you often get your agenda. These are the things I want to see happen, and it's hard for you to see somebody else's agenda. And so one of the ways that I think, I mean, I'm not a person that believes that Satan is behind every tree, but one of the ways that Satan has frustrated the good work of people in Beaver Falls is by keeping that fragmented. And I've started to think that maybe that's what God is calling me to be someone that can help try to bring good things together and to move good things forward instead of the kind of factionalism, even within good things, that has been kind of the legacy of Beaver Falls. Beaver Falls, the more I get into this, the more I see, you can see that Beaver Falls has pridefully kind of said, we can go our own way, we can do our own thing, and I think has been less desirous of working with other groups outside of the city, but I think we see that even within the city. So maybe that's, you know, that'll be my niche. And just to end the time, and then Dad, you can do whatever you want. And he was right, because there it is. You know, it's only 5 to 10. I got another hour. But I ended my group yesterday talking about this. So one of the things you have to do is to run to get on the primary. You have to go around and you have to get 100 signatures on a petition. And it's a little tricky because if you're a Democrat, everybody who signs has to be a Democrat. And when you've been a lifelong independent, you haven't built up a big stock of political people to help you out. Although my fellow councilman, Leonard Chepeta, came through for me in a big way. So thanks to Leonard. I was going around my neighborhood getting people to sign my petition, walked across the street to my neighbor, Thelma. Thelma's an African-American. She's probably close to 90 if she isn't in her 90s. I knocked on her door and there wasn't any response, so I peeked in the door window and I could see into her kitchen and I could see her at the kitchen table. And she had her head down and she had her hair braided. I said pigtails yesterday. My wife straightened me out. She had her hair braided. 90-year-old African-American woman, and she had her hands running through the braids like that, and she was bent over her kitchen table. And I thought, I think she's reading her Bible. It just looks exactly like that. So I banged a little harder on the door, And she got up and she came to the door and warmly welcomed me into her home and walked me back to the kitchen. And there was the Bible open to Ephesians 5 and 6. And she'd been reading through the New Testament. And she happily signed my petition. But I think that's the kind of people that I'm working for. There are lots of them in Beaver Falls. And, you know, I know the perception of Beaver Falls. I'm not immune to that. I know what the perception is. I know the reality. I know that a young woman was shot and killed on the streets of Beaver Falls on a Saturday afternoon. But I also know that the city is filled with good people and their presence needs to be out there in even a stronger way. And I'm glad that God's given me this opportunity. I don't know how long I'll have the opportunity. It may end this year. I don't know. We'll see. But it's been an interesting journey. And again, thanks to Dad and thanks to you guys for hearing me out.
People can still change the Democrats, can't they? But you wasn't in the election.
Yeah, now that you mentioned, see, I didn't want to bring that up in church, but I can give you an honest answer to your question, and that is, if you go to the Beaver County Courthouse site, the Bureau of Elections, you can see the calendar. I believe it's March 21st. You have until March 21st to change your registration. So you could change your registration. I'm not saying you should, but you could change your registration to Democrat, vote for me in the primary, or another Democrat. Marlo Cleckley is running with me. He's a great guy, believer. And then switches back if you were uncomfortable remaining a Democrat. And my dear wife, who's a lifelong staunch Republican, she switched to Democrat because you can't even carry a person's petition around unless you're in the same party. So she carried a petition around for me and had to switch to become a Democrat. I could tell that story in this audience. In other audiences, I would have trouble telling it.
Thank you, Doug. You know, this is where I think the message of Jeremiah comes home to us. The subtitle of the book is Jeremiah's Message for Post-Christian Times. Jeremiah lived in a pagan society, and we have a pagan culture that is becoming more and more godless in its views. And we need to be here. Let me just close, and I know it's just past time, but let me take Jeremiah 29, verse 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This is what he says. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream, for it is a lie they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them. And God promises to bless us in the city. Let's pray. Father, as we come to the end of this part of the study of Jeremiah, and we've only scratched the surface, we know that. But Lord, help us to take the message. and to apply it individually to our lives, that we may be humbled before you, that we may be willing to repent of our sins, that we may look to you and your grace and your loving kindness. That you will help us as a body of your people to live in the city faithfully, proclaiming your goodness and your grace. And above all, may the name of the Lord Jesus Christ be lifted up. In his name, amen.